Good morning. 6:30, to be precise, on May 15th, the Ides of May, if there is such a thing, 2012. It's been a weird couple of days. Between Mother's Day, which happened to also be Elder Daughter's birthday, and then yesterday just totally got away from me. I was going to go at 7, then I got tied up with kids, and I got home just about in enough time to get some breakfast before I had to go to therapy, and then it was noon, and I had a bunch of stuff I had to do at noon, and before I knew it, the day was gone. It was like, what? I didn't walk today, I didn't talk today, I don't know what's happening. So I had sick kid, sick wife yesterday, had stuff around the house, had chores to deal with, and it was just too much. So before I even knew it, the day was gone. So I promised myself this morning, in fact, I set an alarm, so it went off at 6 o'clock to remind me that I had to go for my walk right after I got up, Elder Daughter. So I hope she got up. She didn't, it's going to be words, because she's got a lot of stuff that she has to do today, not the least of which is an algebra test. And if she doesn't go to school, then she can't go to band tonight. And there's a band performance that she gets graded on. So if she misses that, that pretty much shoots her band grade. If she doesn't go to school, she's not eligible to attend. So that's a problem. So, yeah. Last night we had Younger Daughters, Spring Gala. It's their end of the year wrap-up concert with all the different bands and the orchestra. And usually it's best characterized as trial by violin. It's, in past years, it's been highly problematic because there were a lot of violinists in this middle school who aren't very good. Well, it isn't a question of being very good. It's just they're inexperienced. So there's a lot of screechy violins going on. That's kind of nerve-wracking. Wasn't the case last night. Last night they were brilliant. And I use that term advisedly, but they were. It was astonishing to try to remember that these were middle school kids, that the violin section, that the violas, the cellos, they're all kids who are basically 10 to 13. And they did an amazing job with 6 very difficult pieces, including 2 that had featured vocalists singing in front of the orchestra. And they did a marvelous, marvelous job. So that was a great way to start. And then they ended with the jazz band. And the jazz band is their elite band group that meets outside of regular school hours and practices and does a lot of really neat big band jazz style songs. Last night they did a very snappy jazz arrangement of the Flintstones theme, and then followed it up with a kick-ass Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and it was a great way to end a concert. It was a very good concert altogether. The chorus was amazing. In past years, if the chorus has come on, it's been not last night. Last night, they came in and grabbed it and just ran with it. Did 3 really, really fun, upbeat, super numbers that they really, really did a very good job of. And they didn't get too deep into arrangement, but what they did was very simple and very well executed. which I think is one of the keys that the new teacher, Ms. Exner, has brought to the sound. Now, in the past, it wasn't that way. And because my younger daughter is in the Greeley Children's Chorale, I have spent a lot of time listening to children's choruses, children's choirs, and while the public middle school choir isn't quite up to Greeley Children's Chorale standard, it was still very good, very good. So I was quite pleased. It's a good thing it was a good, because it was 2 hours long. But it was pretty good. It was good. I liked it. What they were able to do with the kids in 3 years, because most of these kids come into middle school with zip. And the eighth graders have now had 3 years of music instruction on instrument, in voice, whatever. And they just are astonishing what they're able to do in those first 3 years, to go from basic squawk to melodic interlude. So it was very good. I was quite pleased that I was able to go. Tonight, elder daughter has her end of year concert. I don't know if I'm going to be going to that or not. I probably will wind up going just because. See how it works out tonight on time. I got a bunch of book orders in the mail today because I got 3 boxes of books yesterday. I'm assuming the boxes of books all hold double share. And, geez, you know, I'm really hoping that they don't aren't all missing periods. Ryden is taking quite a lot of abuse in the reviews for the editing that they've done. Not sure that editing is the right criticism for most of it. Some of it, at least some of it, is formatting errors for the ebook. Having all of those periods missing for the initial 1,000 downloads was like, oh no. But the other side of the coin is that, as you know, Bob, I've been reading Nora Roberts. And last night I was looking for something to read and started looking at some of Nora Roberts' reviews. I'll never complain about my reviews again. Here's a woman who arguably is the most adept practitioner of the romance story going today. She sells tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of copies of her books. And she's got like 12 reviews, 3 5-stars, 4 4-stars, 3s, 2s, and 1s. That's like, seriously, people? Seriously? Out of the thousands of people who've read your books, Nora, you get 12 to 15 people who will review them and leave a rating, and the ratings they leave suck. So, yeah, I'm not going to complain anymore. I suppose I should go read George R.R. Martin, because I hear he's got some really good ones, too. So I'm taking a little side trip this morning, so the walk is probably going to, the talk rather, is going to be a little bit longer than normal, and the walk by extension, because I need to go to Lowe's and pick up a sprinkler. Now I got a problem with one of my zones in my irrigation system, and the zone is not coming on when the time is up for it to come on. So when it gets its electric trigger, it doesn't start up. And that's a problem, because it means that this one section, and it's right in the front of the house, But there's one section that doesn't get water. And as a result, it's looking kind of peaked. Now what has to happen is that somebody has to get in there and dig up the box. First we have to find it. And replace the solenoid that's in there, which could be involved, and quite typically does involve, digging up the box. Yeah, in the roots of a juniper tree, a juniper bush, that has been growing for 20 years. So, what's going to happen is that I need to find somebody who can come in, find the box, locate it for me, and then somebody else who can come in and find, dig it up. But before that, I probably need to get a landscaping company in to deal with this shrub that has taken over the world. Now, my wife wants it gone. And I understand that, but I don't think she really quite grasps the reality of what that's going to look like when it's missing. Because right now, it's a very lush, green, gorgeous shrub. It's beautiful. And with it gone, it's going to look like a naked scab. Oh, I get to walk past the sheds. I'm in the Lowe's parking lot. When I get to the door, I'll shut off. I'll pause this so that I'm not recording people who aren't aware that they're being recorded. Okay, an 8x8 gable shed. This is, I think, what I've got now. This is kind of sharp. It's a little small. 7x7 resin. Mm-hmm. Metal. Ooh-hoo. 10x14? Kind of low. Oh, here's one with skylights. Air vents. Skylights. That's kind of nice. How big is this? Expandable. Additional sizes. Yeah, but how big is this one? Very small. Oh, now here's the one. $1,000. 8x12. Yes. See, this would be wonderful. Do it yourself or install the Stratford 8x12. This is cool. It's got a little bench. It's got a little window, a screen. It's kind of a salt box shape. That's really quite lovely. Installed for less than $2,000. Oh, here's a big gambrel roof one, installed for the same price. This one is 10x10. That one's kind of nice too. Here's one 10x12. This is getting to be the size of a room. Includes ventilation. That's a little large. another 10 by 12. I think garage is smaller. 10 by 16. Holy crap, I could live in this. Yeah. The one I saw was the one I saw in the catalog was the one that looks the best. I wonder if I could take a picture of it. It's got double doors. Put a ramp on it. Oh, they screwed the doors open. This is kind of cool. Stratford, 8x10. No, 12x8. See, what I like about this is that it's got the workbench piece built in. It's the right height for stand-up desk. Little pegboard in the back. That's cool. Have one of the eight by seven. Maybe a 7x7. Looks like a porta potty. Here it is, 8x8. Belmont. Doesn't have a, it's got double doors. Certainly big enough. Huh. Installed for $1,000. It doesn't have a shelf in it. It's plain, so it would be really easy to do something like insulate. Yeah, very interesting. It's too dark. The sun is in the wrong place for me to take a picture, so I'm not going to try. Eight by 12. Okay, well, I'm going to come up to the front door of Lowe's, and I don't want to record anybody without permission or without their knowledge. So what I'm going to do is pause this, and I'll pick it up on my way home again. So talk to you in a minute. Okay, I'm back on the road. It's now 6:55. This is going to be long because it's already 20 minutes, 18 and something. See if I can slip this in my pocket without dropping it. The wonderful world of sprinklers. I invested in a timer so that I don't have to be paying attention to the time, and I can set it for like 20 minutes and have it turn off after 20 minutes without having to get out from what I'm doing and interrupt my flow to stop this particular flow. So that was, I think, a good investment. So basically it gives me an automatic sprinkler that I can tie to my hose. That's exactly where it needs to be. So what else am I thinking about? I don't know. Visiting with the little woodsheds here was quite enlightening. An 8x12. It's more than big enough for what I need. It's actually more than big enough for what I want. I like the fact that it's got a couple of, I mean, it's cheesy stuff, but it's, you know, it's particle board. It's not anything meant for significant usage, but for a place to get away, for a little writing retreat, I can see where this would be very cool. I need to get the back deck set up today so that I can go out back and write without having to have a major discombobulation of stuff. I synced up all of my files last night so that it doesn't matter which portable I take out back. I'll have the correct version of the files with me. I really need to do is get in the habit of plugging in a thumb drive. I have several that really I don't have anything on. I could actually dedicate one to work in progress. So whenever I wanted to work on a different machine, even if I didn't have them synced up, even if I didn't have network, I could just pull the jump drive, plug it in the other machine and go. Because they all have LibreOffice, which means I've got a standard format that I can use across all the machines. The difficulty is that I really need to use my Windows machine because for editing, because Ryden uses Word, and Robin always sends me .docx files, and the comments and stuff that go into that kind of get munged up quite a lot if I try to put them into Libre, so I sort of have to stick with that one. I also have to print a bunch of labels and get a bunch of books out today. I don't know how many. There's four emails full of labels. Typically, she puts six or eight in a pile, so that could be as many as 30 books. I need to clear off my packing table, which doubles as a laundry folding table. I need to get that cleaned off today so I can get these books signed up and out. Pay attention to some business today. Try to avoid some of the challenges that I've had with being focused. I don't know who's going to be home today. I don't know what I have to do today in terms of meals and running people around and all the rest of that. I do have to fix dinner, I know that. And it'll probably have to be relatively small or early because there'll be a band call probably at 6:30, which means we have to have dinner out of the way by 6 o'clock to give time for people to get off to various places. So, yeah, big time. Wicked fun. No, not really, but that's my story. I'm sticking with it. So, it's almost 7 o'clock. I hope people are moving because I'm not home. And I suppose I could call the phone and jingle the phone to wake them up, but that would be kind of rude. I'll be home in 5 minutes. 10 minutes. I won't make them too terribly late. Make sure everybody's up when I get there. It is a gorgeous morning. It is. It's a little bit cool. I wore my windbreaker and a sweater. And when I started out, it was quite comfortable. It was the right thing to wear. But now that I've been walking for, well, almost an hour. Actually, yeah, very nearly an hour. It's warmed up considerably, and so have I. Okay, car coming. Is he going to make this turn? No, it's a cul-de-sac. Lata. So this weekend, the girls are going to go down to Denver to see Wicked, which I think is excellent. because I think it's a matinee, so they'll be gone most of the day on Saturday, which means I get the day to myself. And the question is, will I squander it? Will I take advantage of the relative peace and quiet to sit in peace and quiet and try to find my head? That's one of the things that my therapist is working with me on. And I think we're making progress. I hope we're making progress. Several months, it's a lot of heavy lifting. And things have been, and it's the nature of depression for those of you who aren't intimately acquainted, is that usually it takes several months of, if not years of time to build to the point where it becomes problematic. And then of course it takes not quite the same amount of time, but it takes quite a lot of time to heal. And my problem now is that I've had a whole cup of coffee. I've been out walking for almost an hour. And I'm walking past a set of sprinklers. Yeah. Try not to think about it. Some interesting discussions on Grumbly Day going by. I just saw the latest exchange. And Tara Lee has pretty much the right of it in terms of noting that Alice Yergoan was really kind of not really doing Ishmael a favor by forcing him to the academy. It was really much more about what she wanted than it was about what he wanted. And you really get to see the results of that when he has to go out and try to deal with the real life. And the other thing is that, now I keep looking at these comments of people who are, on the one hand, complaining that it's just like today, except in spaceships, and yet complaining about the way that society treats sexual assault, at least the society in the spaceships, which is not necessarily the same society as in polite, you know, land, earthbound, planetbound, even stationbound activity. I have a suspicion a lot of this would be very different. And they really, most of the complaints, particularly about the captain, really don't understand the nature of the ludicrousness of many contracts. Yes, it's absolutely insane that he should not have been able to just say, you're out of here. And if, you know, and for all that it's really only given a paragraph, the reality is that, man, I've seen stranger, much, much stranger business decisions made. Because, not necessarily just because of contracts, but because of the fear of repercussion for following or not following the letter of a contract. And so dealing particularly with the university and having some of the, dealing with the legal department there, some of the things that they go through, some of the machinations, some of the twists that they put themselves through in order to avoid the potential for maybe somebody one day, 100 years from now, suing them. It's like, wow. And I know they do it for a reason, and the reason, of course, is to protect the institution. And by being conservative, they are able to protect the institution from outside threat most effectively. But the costs for that, for lost opportunities, for problems involving personnel that should have been let go, it's rife, it's endemic, it's everywhere. So, you know, I read this stuff, which is why I brought up Nora Roberts when I started this walk. Yeah, I read this stuff and I think, maybe I didn't tell the story well enough. If they think that this is just like now, but 300 years in the future, and that it's not science fiction because there's no aliens or space battles, but there's really a lot of social commentary about where I see we're going to be in 300 years. Particularly in Frontier. That's the other thing that we haven't really come to grips with too much, and that's that social engagement is governed by context. And this space that they occupy is the Western Annex, which for all intents and purposes is the Wild West, the frontier of interstellar exploration. And I made it. I'm back at the back gate. Well, almost. Crossing the street now. I have to go in and make sure people are awake. Make sure people are moving. See where we are in the day. Tomorrow, I hear, is another day. Jesus, I hope I'll talk to you then.